Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of WP Mainline for Friday, July 16, 2021. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Malcolm Peralti, my favorite Canadian. How you doing, Malcolm?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing a lot better than I was about a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a little over a year since we've done this.
Yeah, you know, the recipe for success is probably not do a podcast or two, you know, every year. You should probably
we're going to have to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, back in the hosting chair, and shout out to everybody who sent me messages saying they really missed the show. You know, I've had some people contact me saying that they've actually gone through podcast withdrawal since WordPress Weekly kind of kicked the bucket. There's a lot of people that said they enjoyed just hearing us riff on WordPress news and talk about whatever, and they just like the casual nature of the show. So thank you very much. You're many of those people are part of the reason why I'm back, and I'm going to try and do this again, and we'll see what happens, see if I can't make a go out of it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and you're one of those guys. You're one of those guys that kept pushing me. Yeah, bring it back. Let's go. So, okay.
It's just so I could be here and do this with you. That's why.
Well, I mean, that's as good a reason as ever, I guess. So we do have some things to talk about in WordPress land. And the first thing I want to talk about is WooCommerce. The team behind WooCommerce, they discovered a critical vulnerability back on July 13, 2021. Critical vulnerability concerning WooCommerce and the WooCommerce blocks feature was identified and was responsibly disclosed by security researcher Josh via the HackerOne security program. And for those who don't know, HackerOne security program, that's like automatic assigned into that, where they issue bounties for security issues and bugs that are discovered and confirmed. It's a nice little program that they have there, and when it works, when everything works and disclosure and all that thing happens responsibly, it's a great setup. But if you have a WooCommerce store, what you should be doing, or probably should have been done already, is that you use the upgrade to the latest versions of both WooCommerce and WooCommerce blocks. And what they ended up doing was this critical vulnerability, they actually went back and patched it through, it was like over 90 releases, 90 mm-hmm. versions. So this is pretty serious, and I actually have a detailed chart in the post in terms of which versions, which WooCommerce versions were patched and which versions of the WooCommerce blocks feature plugin was patched. So this came out and about. So basically, if you haven't done so already, double check your client sites. If you manage WooCommerce, if you run WooCommerce, make sure that it is updated to the latest version so that you don't succumb to this vulnerability. And up to this point, it looks like no customer data that they've been able to find out has been compromised. So that's a good thing. But a lot of concerned users and people. And I know a lot of people who spent their evening the other night working on their customers' WooCommerce sites.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't have been a big deal, right? They pushed out automatic updates for the versions that they thought were affected by this.
That's right.
So a lot of people probably had an automatic patch happen. If you had like different systems in place to stop automatic patching from happening, you'll definitely want to get on that. For me, one of the big issues was I have a couple client sites that run WooCommerce, and updating them is a bit of a painful process. And the reason for that is not all of the add-ons or extensions or whatever you want to call them for WooCommerce are as well developed as WooCommerce itself. And so when we upgrade the WooCommerce version, sometimes those other things get broken, especially functionality like integration with payment systems, especially things like written, you know, by like a one-man like shop or one person. And then you end up with a broken WooCommerce store, and you have to kind of roll back and you have to upgrade to the patched subversion that they've released. So let's say you're on like 4.4.0 or 4.4.1, they released a 4.4.2, but if you click upgrade in WordPress's administration panel, you're going to upgrade to 5.5.1. There's no like version selector built right into WordPress to let you like pick and choose which point release you want to upgrade to. And so that could mean like a lot of people aren't necessarily just dealing with upgrades. They're also dealing maybe with critical issues now on their sites because you know, the plugins or add-ons for WooCommerce that they were using might not be working the same way. And it shouldn't be that way because this vulnerability was a specific patch by itself. So this code should be fairly safe to go ahead and upgrade to. But yeah, just double check everything before you upgrade, maybe on a staging site or something, but get it done quickly.
But what have we learned in the past about security updates in WordPress?
Yeah, you know, it should work perfectly.
It should be fine.
No problem.
Most of the time it does. Most of the time everything works, but then there are those times where things are broken or plugins don't work or something is broken in WordPress that the security patch probably should have had no reason to affect, but yet it did.
Yeah.
So do you have like a staging site or whatever set up for client sites, or whatever, and you're messing around on there? I mean, obviously you got to do that because doing anything on a live site is just asking for trouble.
Especially a live e-commerce site, right? It gets to be very complicated at that point. So yeah, we typically
any downtime equals big time loss of revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll clone the live site. We'll update it. We'll like typically create like a test product that we can go through the entire like purchasing process with, and like use, you know, a lot of things like Stripe and other services give you like staging or test site API connections so that you can run fake transactions, but make sure everything's working correctly. And so we'll set that all up, and it's a little bit more involved than just clicking update in WordPress. So
again, if you haven't already, double check, make sure, get those WooCommerce sites upgraded. So Automattic has stepped into the podcast game. Actually, they haven't really stepped in. Was it earlier this year? It was either earlier this year or last year, they acquired a company that actually can turn your blog post into podcasts.
Right.
Today the news came out that podcast app Pocket Cast has been acquired by WordPress. Not by WordPress, but Automattic, the parent company of WordPress.com. Yeah. Oh boy. Look, I just did something that I ridicule all other news agencies do. Welcome back, Jeff. Let's see.
You stepped in a big time now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this announcement, and we'll kind of go into this a little bit in more detail going forward, but, I don't know how I feel about them kind of stretching beyond, you know, WordPress centric stuff, right? I get that they want to get into the audio space, but how long until, you know, they acquire like a small video site or, you know, other things in the space to try to kind of extend their tendrils out into more different like multimedia avenues. I had never heard of this app before. I don't know about you.
It's funny. At one point I'm like, Pocket Cast, what is it? And then as I was reading the article, I'm like, man, I can't remember using it. And I look at my iPhone. Oh, I have it installed on my iPhone. I remembered that the last time I used Pocket Cast, it was suggested to me by a couple of folks last year when I was having issues, or not last year, but when I was doing the WordPress Weekly podcast, mm-hmm. I was experiencing problems and I was trying to diagnose them and I was using the Pocket Cast app. So the app has been here on my phone, but I haven't used it in like 3 years.
Yeah, and I can see where there's synergies between like the day one journaling app and like all of the stuff they're doing in terms of like converting blog posts into podcasts. I can see the synergies, but it's still kind of a weird acquisition, don't you think?
Most of the time, Automattic acquires these companies that I've never heard of, and I think they're all weird. But you know, at some point there's synergies. There's something there, whether it's the founders, whether it's the employees. There's something that they acquire that makes sense, or else they wouldn't have done it.
Suppose that's true. I just don't know that we needed them to buy some kind of second tier or second rate podcast management app for mobile devices. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what they do with it.
But as in the announcement, Automattic in the post says that Pocket Cast will continue to provide you with the features needed to enjoy your favorite podcast or find something new. They're going to work on building deep integrations with WordPress.com, making it easier to distribute and listen to podcasts. And the co-founders, Russell Ivanek and Philip Simpson, will continue to lead Pocket Cast as part of Automattic. So it's very good that you're staying on board to work with the product. But, you know, when these acquisitions happen, you got to give it a year. Maybe you got to give it a year and a half. I don't get excited anymore when Automattic acquires a company or, you know, especially when it relates to a mobile app or something, because what happens is you know, they'll say that people are staying on board and they say that they're going to leave the product alone, but it just seems like over time people move on, people associate with the product, get into other teams, they start doing other things because, you know, what's the point? They no longer have to focus on that one thing that they started, that they built, that project. And sometimes the product gets forgotten about or it's on the side. And so you really got to give these acquisitions time, you know, about a year or two, and then kind of look back and say, was that a good idea? I don't know.
Yeah. And speaking of acquisitions, I mean, that kind of leads into our next thing to talk about, which is PostStatus has actually released a list of acquisitions. And of course, it's only the big ones. I mean, it doesn't list like every acquisition in the WordPress space ever, but it lists a lot of the bigger ones. And I mean, you're right. If you actually go to this list and like look at some of the products that Automattic has acquired, especially kind of in that early to mid days, you will kind of scratch your head because a lot of these don't exist anymore. A lot of them are gone or dead or dying or, you know, otherwise kind of forgotten about. And it's kind of sad.
This acquisition list, I know exactly who was responsible for this, Mr. David Bissett. He's over there. He's one of the content producers, content managers for PostStatus. And he's been joking. I thought it was just kind of a joke he was doing about days since last acquisition, here they're doing a whole big thing now on poststatus.com, which is actually pretty cool to have sort of this list of acquisitions. And if you go back, like you said, back in the day, and we're talking 2007, 2008, some would say maybe the glory days of the whole WordPress scene, but you got Gravatar, that's still around. Pole Daddy, they're still around, but they've rebranded to a different name, Pole something. Intense Debate, that was their big kind of third-party commenting platform. That's actually still around, but you don't see it. It's kind of in the background, very low-key. Buddy Press, that's still alive, doing well. After the Deadline, that kind of hit the kibosh. There's not really anything going on with After the Deadline. And then you get into like blogs and Plinky, Code Garage, some of the other stuff, Simperium, Simple Note. I think that's still going around. Long Read, Scroll Kit, Creative Market, Theme. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm starting to name things that weren't acquired by Automattic. There's a list of different WordPress companies in here that have done different acquisitions. My bad.
But it does bring up a good point, though. Like, how much should Automattic be purchasing in the WordPress space, right? Like, I get that there are founders that probably are looking for exits, but I mean, will WordPress kind of become, you know, synonymous with Automattic? Will we see it be?
Wait, what's the question you just asked?
Will we see WordPress become synonymous with Automattic?
Well, isn't it already the case? And I think that's kind of already a thing. It has been a thing.
I don't know that it. Well, I think there are a group of people that don't necessarily feel or see it that way. And I think that if it was that way, we wouldn't see as much investment from like Liquid Web and GoDaddy and some of these other organizations trying to kind of carve out their own like acquisition portfolio or grow their own, you know, inroads into WordPress. But I mean, if eventually we might get to the point where it's Automattic, Liquid Web, GoDaddy, and maybe one or two other companies that really kind of own the bulk of the business of WordPress. And that's kind of weird to me. That's kind of scary in a way.
Follow the money. Who has the money? The web host. And who's at the top of the food chain when it comes to WordPress? Web host. Because without the web host, you can't do anything with WordPress.
Yeah. And isn't that the truth, right? I mean, that is kind of WordPress.com's claim to fame. I mean, they have like WordPress hosting, quote unquote, at every kind of price level. So, you know, from entry level all the way up to, you know, major corporations that are using Automattic's platform.
The whole WordPress VIP experience. They have a whole VIP platform. I wonder how their, I think it was the business class or business type service where they actually allowed certain plugins to be used on WordPress.com. You can actually upload or install certain plugins to your WordPress.com site. I think it was part of their business plan. I wonder how that's been doing for them.
Yeah, and I mean, even above that, WordPress VIP has pretty much always had that. And the only requirement was you didn't have to pick from a specific list, but instead you had to pay for Automattic to like do a code audit to make sure that the plugin was good enough to be on their platform and wasn't going to wreck the user experience or the server issues or whatever, right? So, I mean, I'm not surprised that they're allowing that to kind of slowly filter down to some lower levels, because plugins are one of the big things that people love. And it's so funny because forever in WordPress.com, we've been saying, oh yeah, WordPress.com is great, except you can't install plugins and you only have a select set of themes you can pick from. And that is soon not going to be the case at all. And so that blurred line that we've always had to be able to, you know, help people understand the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.org might kind of disappear.
And speaking of acquisitions and plugins, if you take a look at a company like Awesome Motive by Zed Balke, they've got a whole portfolio now of plugins that they've acquired. And there's a couple of other folks out there who also are starting to build up their portfolio of various WordPress plugins. In fact, there is a service that was launched very recently that is all about helping people acquire things in the WordPress space. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it's there and it exists. Acquiring, you know, that's what I got to do. I got to build up WP Mainline to get acquired again. Yeah, I should go down that road again. Yeah. But yeah, so we'll have to see what happens. Hey, Tumblr's still around. Tumblr hasn't, you know, gone down the wayside, and they were acquired by Automattic, so that's a good sign. I mean, and most of the products and services that Automattic has acquired recently, I'd say within the past 3 or 4 years, they're still doing pretty good.
I agree. Yep.
So WordPress 5.8 release candidate 4 was released the other day. The tentative release date for WordPress 5.8 is July 20th, 2021. And I got to be honest with you, I have no idea what features are in WordPress 5.8. I've been so busy with my head stuck up WordPress's butt trying to figure out WP Mainline and trying to get the site working. I've dealt with bugs. I've dealt with issues. I've written a couple of things. I'm trying to get this membership thing underway, and every time I think I have it figured out, nope, something else comes along, or I think about doing something else. I have no idea what is in WordPress 5.8. However, I do know that it's expected to be released July 20th, so you should be prepared. There is a blog post that you can look up on WordPress.org, the WordPress 5.8 beta 1 post, that actually has a good outline of what to expect in WordPress 5.8. And of course, you've got things dealing with blocks, block patterns, support for Internet Explorer will be ending this year in WordPress. This release will be kind of the first stages of that. Bye-bye, Internet Explorer. You know, I never used Internet Explorer. It came with Windows, but the only time I ever used it was when all the other browsers I had stopped working. You know, I was trying to troubleshoot something.
But yeah, I don't know how I feel about 5.8 yet. I am a little bit concerned about the whole full site editing in Gutenberg thing. I know a lot of developers who, you know that Gutenberg is the future. They are excited about Gutenberg's future, but they just shake their heads. Actually, I talked to one today who was just like, why didn't they develop Gutenberg to be mobile first, like mobile responsive first? Every time I want to do something in Gutenberg, I have to like reinvent the wheel for responsive blocks and stuff like that. And he's just so frustrated, and that's not the way it should be. And so then we extend that to full site editing and, like, you know, the blurring of the lines between widgets and blocks. And I don't know. I'm a little confused about this. I'm looking forward to seeing it mature, but right now we're at that like awkward teenage point for, or maybe even preteen point for Gutenberg, in my opinion.
And that's after Gutenberg has been worked on for at least what, 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. I think it's been about that long, but you mentioned a big time feature that's coming to WordPress 5.8, and that is blocks in the widget area. So people will be able to use any block in your theme's widget areas using the all new widget screen and updated customizer. Now, existing third-party widgets should continue to work via the legacy widget block, and if you're not ready for the full switch, you can use the classic widgets plugin.
Oh my goodness.
And themes can call on a specific function, it's widgets block editor, to I guess use the old UI. So as they're trying to rebuild the ship of Theseus, or whatever that saying was, that's, you know, reinventing WordPress as is without building something new. This is their way to basically, it's block editor and classic editor thing all over again, but now with widgets.
You know, I still have like one or two clients that are using the classic editor, and I tell them all the time, you know, this is going to be deprecated at some point, right? They they are going to force you to learn how to use Gutenberg blocks. Like, they're going to stop maintaining this classic editor plugin at some point. You should probably switch, or like, hey, you know that new functionality or feature you want? It's now only like available as a Gutenberg block or something like that, right? I've been working so hard to try to get them off the classic editor plugin, and now they come along with the classic widget thing, and I'm just like, okay, at least this is not as user facing as the classic editor, but it's just like, can we not move away from these horrible classic whatever plugins and just, you know, if you want to stick with the old classic thing, maybe you find non WordPress CMS system to run.
No, I know exactly what you do. Migrate to Classic Press. So yeah. Everything is classic. There you go.
There you go. It's built in all the time. Classic.
Exactly. See, man, we're on top of things here. Classic Press is still kicking. They're still doing it.
Yep.
And the last time I checked, I was checking out their plugin directory. They've got about somewhere around 100, maybe a little over 100 plugins on their plugin directory for Classic Press. And I think Classic Press existing is a good thing. I think as long as the maintainers keep it around, I mean, I think it fits a niche for a subset of people. And when it comes to the Gutenberg, the Black Editor, a tremendous amount of work has been done on the Black Editor. It is not as horrible and as terrible as you might see the reviews on the WordPress.org directory for the plugin, the Gutenberg plugin. It's nowhere near like that. I mean, when it works, it works. It's cool. It actually has a nice flow. Mm-hmm. But there are those times when it doesn't work, which, you know, I could talk about in an instance that I ran into. So are you using full site editing widgets or are you using classic widgets? That's a question now you're gonna have to be asking. And if you're a plugin developer, I'd say plugin developer, because usually plugin or widgets are dealing with plugins, not so much themes. But yeah, I mean, we're gonna get to the point. I mean, when they say full site editing, and I haven't looked into it that deeply, the first thing I think of, well, okay, I'm going to be able to use blocks everywhere on the site. There's not going to be any limitations. Navbar, a block. Sidebar, a block. Content is a block. Footer is a block. Block here, block there, blocks everywhere. I mean, that's what I think of with full site editing.
Yeah, but it's creating a new interesting problem, right? Because block patterns and like custom blocks related to themes are going to become the new locked in syndrome blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you're going to build out this beautiful site using this block plugin you found, right? Like, you know, there are hundreds of them already. And then one day you're going to want to change themes, or you're going to want to get, you know, change plugins, maybe because they stop supporting it, maybe because they go in a direction you don't like. And you're going to switch plugins, you're going to switch themes, and everything is going to be ugly and broken and stupid. And you're going to go, this is just like back when I turned off like Divi or switched away from WP Bakery or whatever. Like, it's just going to be that exact same experience all over again.
Oh man, I'm just, because I've been around WordPress for so long. I got the feels, man. I got the feels, because, you know, it's like, all right, I built all this stuff, but if I click deactivate, oh no, now all we see is short codes, or the functionality's gone, or man, now I can't have what I want because I relied on that plugin or theme.
Yep.
And now it's going to be like, well, I relied on that block, but you can't have that block if you remove this block pattern plugin or something to that effect.
Exactly.
Same problem, different ingredients.
The WordPress story in a nutshell.
So speaking of the block editor, I just kind of wanted to bring this up a little bit, but I've with WP Mainline, it's a relatively fresh, well, it's a year old, but in terms of content, it's fresh. It's pretty much a new WordPress install, and I've been tinkering around with a bunch of things. But I ran into a problem where I was just writing content, simple content in terms of a couple paragraph blocks. But then I was writing the post where I wanted to embed a GitHub gist that somebody had provided. So what you do is you go to GitHub, you get their page. They have the embed code that you can copy, and then you can put it into a custom HTML block. And when I would do that and click save, I would see this error at the top of the block header that says failed to save, updating failed, JSON error. Now I have no idea what that means. You know, I'm just trying to write a post. Well, what the hell's going on here? So my first thought was, okay, the black editor, here we go again. Something's broke. The black editor sucks. You know, what am I going to do about this? So I started, you know, trying to tinker around, trying to figure it out. Could not for the life of me figure it out. And I was getting pretty upset because when you get the updating fail JSON error, the content in that post is not saved. It may be there, but if you click like refresh or you lost that browser window, you would lose all that content. And this was very frustrating to me, mostly because I'm writing a simple post and the black editor's breaking on me. Like that shouldn't be the case. And yeah. For me, I enjoy just like a flow. When you're writing a post, boom, you have a block, you write, then you have a block, you embed something, you have a block, and then you know there's a flow to it. And then once I see the JSON error, everything about creating content is disrupted, and I now have to go into troubleshooting mode, and the flow is gone. And now I get annoyed and frustrated because now I have to spend all my time and energy trying to figure out what's going on with the block editor. So what happened was
all your time and energy. It only took like what, 2 seconds to figure it out, right? Because yeah. The error was so detailed and so helpful that you knew exactly what you needed to do, right?
2 seconds, more like 2 weeks. But I ended up working with my host and quite a few people on Twitter helped me out as well. I don't want to go through every, I mean, I did the usual troubleshooting things, disable plugins, disable themes. I even went to, and none of that worked. The error still happened. In fact, even on the same web host, which is Convizio, shout out to them. They've been awesome hosting WP Mainline. Check them out if you're looking for a great host. But they actually started a new account, like a trial account, on their same setup just to make sure, because I figured if it's a hardware issue or a web host issue configuration, then even a new WordPress install should have the same problem, but it worked fine. So I'm like, okay, I have no idea what's going on. There's something specifically wrong with my website. And I was in the trouble ticket and we were going back and forth and back and forth. And then we ended up finding out through the network tab, the inspection tools in the browser with that error, we found out that it was triggering a Cloudflare error. And so you can actually see the error where Cloudflare has blocked certain activity from happening. And eventually what happened was this got elevated to the top tier person, Tom, at Convizio. I think he's one of the co-founders he's CEO of Convizio. So he stepped in and he helped me out. And he said what was going on was that essentially, the autosave, so I believe it's related to Heartbeat. It's part of the issue. But when you're in the browser or in the block editor, there's a lot of autosaves that happen. So there's pinging of a URL. And I guess what was happening was when I tried to embed a gist in that code in the custom HTML block, the autosave URL was the autosave function was happening so often that Cloudflare thought that some kind of attack was going on. So what they're using, the enterprise edition of Cloudflare, or the premium edition, they're using these OWASP default rule sets, security rule sets, and one of them is configured to say, hey, if this thing is happening, to block it. So what we ended up having to do is we whitelisted my IP, which I don't think is a long-term solution, but it's working for now. But I do have a plugin installed that says Gutenberg disable autosave. So now the autosave is not happening all of the time. But it turns out this has happened to quite a few others as well who are using Cloudflare and getting that JSON error in Gutenberg. And the rule actually is XSS HTML injection script tag. So that's like a rule that you can actually disable in Cloudflare. But at the end of the day, what happens is it was a security issue. It was something out of my control as a user. It was related to the web host. It had nothing to do with the plugin, had nothing to do with the theme. And most importantly, that I figured out, it had nothing to do with Gutenberg, the black editor, or WordPress. This is all just a security issue with Cloudflare. And mystery solved. It took about 3 weeks, but damn, I'm happy I solved the mystery. I feel like I should get a Scooby snack.
Now you got to wonder though, right? Like I deal with hosting clients all the time and they wouldn't have cared what the resolution was. And two, they definitely would not have followed it along, you know, patiently for 3 weeks like you did.
I think most of them would assume that there was an issue with the black editor, and it would have blamed it all on the black editor and said, this thing sucks. And that would be the end of that.
Or WordPress sucks, or but or maybe the company that you're hosting with, like they could have blamed, like if you had decided to blame Convesio, is it?
I think it's Convesio.
All right.
Convesio.
You could have just as easily blamed them and said, you know, they're a stupid web host, they don't know what they're doing, kind of thing. And that really is not the reality of the situation at the end of the day. You followed this through to its conclusion, which is great. And you got a detailed post about it, which is great, because honestly, I know I've experienced myself and probably hundreds of other people have as well with JSON errors in the block editor. And guess what? It's not always Cloudflare, but sometimes it is. And this is just another one of those cases where WordPress should almost take a whole, like maybe 5.9 should be like clarifying errors. You know what I mean? Like just give me more insight into what this error means, because this JSON error in Gutenberg happens for multiple different reasons. And so if you go and search it in Google,
you might
come up with a whole bunch of different solutions. And now you got to work through each solution trying to figure out which one could be affecting you. And that really sucks. So better error reporting in WordPress in the administration panel would be super helpful, because you should have had more insight without having to dig into kind of the network responses from Cloudflare to figure it out, right? Like it should have been able to give you some insight that, hey, you know, there's, you know, something blocking the script tag, or, hey, autosave is no longer working because of something. Like it just, I don't know what the solution is, because I'm not a developer, and I'd be the first to admit that I'm not, you know, an expert network.
I know what it should say. It should just turn into a white screen and say cheating, huh?
Oh my goodness. But errors like this have always been a problem in WordPress, and I don't think we necessarily spend enough time as a community helping users resolve these. And I think too many things have the exact same error from a user perspective that just causes a whole bunch of confusion and frustration for little to no reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, so if you end up seeing like updating failed JSON error, you can't click on it. There's no link. It's a red bar. You're stopped in your tracks. It won't save content. You're pretty much SOL until you figure out what's going on there. And if you don't, if you're not on top of your game, and you don't hit control A to select all and copy and post that content you've already written into a post or a notepad editor, you're at risk of losing it. When I saw that error, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And when you put that error into Google, guess what? Pages upon pages upon pages of what could be Cloudflare, could be this security issue, could be this plugin, could be really simple SSL, could be an option here, could be an option there.
Don't forget to resave your permalinks.
Yeah, yeah, which I did, and that screwed a lot of other things. I ended up having to troubleshoot that. And at one point, you know, I'm starting to wonder, I'm like, man, I get this WordPress site set up, and it feels like it's built on sticks, bubblegum, and duct tape. It feels very fresh. But no, I ended up getting it fixed, and I just wanted to document this and say, hey, if you have a JSON error, it could very well, you know, this is a possibility. This is an option. In fact, in my research, there are quite a few. There's a history of cloud security services like Cloudflare and their firewall, their WAF, triggering issues. Just normal functions, you know, whether it mostly JavaScript related, because there's a lot of JavaScript involving Gutenberg where things just stop, or an autosave is blocked, or certain code is blocked, or if you're trying to do something within a block, that code is blocked, and you end up just seeing the JSON error. And, you know, it really sucks for the user at that point, because it's a stop sign. It's up to you to figure out what to do from there on out. You know, WordPress does not help you.
Yeah. And hopefully you have a good host that can.
And I absolutely do. And when it got up the chain, up the time, he's like, oh, let me just do this. And as soon as he turned off the Gutenberg autosave feature and then he whitelisted my IP, things started working again. I'm like, oh, this is so great. Because, you know, hey, all I want to do is embed something using a block. Why do I get this error? You know, it shouldn't be this way. But, you know, it's just the way Cloudflare works. And Tom's one of those guys. He thinks that because this is a default rule, like in the OWASP rule set for Cloudflare for their premium thing, he thinks that maybe there's a way that WordPress could solve the issue by the way it's doing autosaves or something to that effect, where it doesn't trigger that rule.
Interesting thought.
All right. So that pretty much covers what's been going on here.
Oh, really? We covered the entire year of news in this one episode?
No. Just what's been going on lately. But I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, it's been so long since people have heard my voice. It's been so long since I've talked to a microphone. It's been so long since I've seen you, who has no hair, but we're not going to go into that. So I've got WP Mainline up and going. My initial plan is to turn it into a membership site or a subscription site. I'm working on that right now. I've got some people that are rooting for me, that are cheering me on, that are helping me. Jason Coleman of Paid Membership Pro, he's been awesome. He's been walking me through some things and trying to get things set up. And I just don't know. I think I had things figured out in terms of how I want the site to roll, but then I don't. Like, at first I was thinking about setting up membership subscriber roles, and then those subscribers would have access to exclusive content, whether that be an after show of WP Mainline or exclusive blog posts. But then I started thinking about, like, you know, what the hell am I going to write, or what am I going to say or do that's exclusive content? I want that stuff to be in front of as many people, and I want this show to be as listened to by as many people as possible. So I'm like, well, I can either, the option I could do there is just turn the whole site into a subscription only type of site. That way kind of everything is exclusive if you thought about it. And that way I don't have to worry about doing these extra special little things. I could just create content, just do my thing, and I don't have to do any of these special content things. So I'm working with that. I don't know which way to go here with with subscribers and members, and I just need funding. I need money. And then I need the money so I can produce content. Then I can have a job, and then we could just all be happy.
Yeah, I completely understand. And I think that, you know, I think that in some ways you're overthinking it.
Yep.
You have a lot of people that really want to see you succeed. I think that you just need to kind of put it out there, see what sticks, be ready to change on a dime if it's not working the way you hope it will, but give things a little bit of time to breathe. I mean, you got this. We're all here for you, man. You can do this.
I can do it. Hey, it's kind of I would be remiss to not mention that I feel a bit like, I mentioned this on Twitter, I feel a bit like Brian Krogsgaard when he launched Post Status back in 2013, because at that time I was fully employed under Matt for WP Tavern. I had a job, I was working, I was writing, and there he was doing something independent, launching his own thing, having an independent voice. And then 2 years later, he launched Post Status Membership Club. And there was a lot of people that were cheering him on. I saw how the community responded to him, and he did an awesome job. The guy's a smart chap. He did a lot of things that I wish I could have did with him and Ryan Emo from way back in the day. Ryan was a smart dude too. Help me out. Because he did the quarterly, which was the print magazine. That was awesome. I still have the one and only issue pretty much in pristine condition behind me. I'm kind of going down the route of Brian Krogsgaard here. And, you know, I've been told that that's not a bad path to go down. So I'm working on it. Hopefully by next week, you know, I can open up the site, start getting some subscriptions rolling in, and just kind of get back to writing and talking, because that's what people have missed the most about my absence from WP Weekly and the Tavern. And so that's why I need to get going. I need to start doing that again.
Yeah, for sure.
So come back, Jeff.
I want a daily podcast, a weekly podcast, a monthly podcast.
Didn't I try that already?
The after hours one, the mainline at night or after dark or whatever. I want just more content.
So you want me to be Justin.TV?
just
strap a camera on my head and just...
And keep a microphone by your face just 24/7 and just, like, relate everything back to WordPress. You know, you go watch the trains and you're like, that one reminds me of this Gutenberg block.
This train's filled with graffiti, so that looks like a client's dashboard.
That sounds good.
I could do that. All right, so the plan is to start doing this show once again every Friday, WP Mainline Podcast. We're going to start out with that for now. You and John James Jacoby are going to share co-hosting duties. So if one's not available or if I want to switch it up, that's cool. You guys both add different flavors to the show, and I really appreciate it. And other than that, oh, I want to give a shout out to Castos, who has graciously provided me sponsorship in terms of they've given me a pro level or a paid account for podcast hosting for this show and any additional shows I decide to do there. And Castos is really cool. Once you set it up, it's integration with WordPress and their hosting and the additional add-ons they have. It's pretty slick. And in fact, congratulations to Castos and the folks over there because they recently got almost like $800,000 worth of funding.
Wow.
So they'll be sticking around here for a little while. Of course, Paid Membership Pro, I've already mentioned. Awesome group of folks over there, and Kavizio, my host for WP Mainline. Thanks a lot for sticking with me and for not thinking I'm an annoying customer because I'm opening up support tickets asking, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? And they actually just helped me the other day. I had a issues with redirection code with the with Castos, where people were trying to download the MP3 files and it was showing up as a 404 error. So they ended up having to get rid of like XPPD or whatever it is, install Nginx, put in some security rules, or not security rules, but redirection rules, and bam, it's all fixed. They fixed it for me, so it was really cool. So now I have working downloads for the podcast.
Nice.
So now you can listen to it. And by the way, by the end of today and throughout this weekend, because I forgot to do this last year, the podcast should be available to subscribe to on iTunes, and I'm going to work on getting it to some other distribution channels as well. There's always work to do when you're a solopreneur.
Yep, for sure.
Other than that, anything on your end?
No, I'm glad to be back and glad to be able to help. And if anyone has any questions or things that they think we should cover, make sure you reach out to Jeff at the WP Mainline Twitter account and let them know about the stories we should cover. And I look forward to covering them all.
Absolutely. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WP Mainline. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPMainline.com. In fact, all you got to do is visit the site, click on the podcast link, and the show notes post and the players and everything you need to know will be right there. Easy access. You can follow WP Mainline on Twitter at WP Mainline, of course. And how about you?
If you want to follow me, I'm at Find Purpose on Twitter. And my company is Press Titan, and I'm also working with Camber Creative. So you can reach me there.
Nice. And I'm still trying to find purpose, man. We're always trying to find purpose, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah. So until next week, everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this episode of me being back. I hope you enjoy hearing my voice. And we'll be back again to do it again next week. So long, everybody.